Hallelujah.
We're excited. God, quicken her heart, quicken her words, that they may speak to us your life and your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is so good. Why don't you shake your neighbor and just tell them you're glad they're here. This is the first Sunday of 2026, and you're here. What a good day it is to be here. God is so good. I want to just jump in to the story of Jesus when he was baptized. And when he got baptized, it says that I'm not on the scripture right one, so you know. But it's in Matthew 3. I'm jumping because the Lord asked me to jump, so I'm jumping. It says, when Jesus was baptized, this is Matthew 3:16, and it says, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove, rested upon him. And it says in that it remained. In a different, not Matthew's book, but a different book, it said it remained. I think it's John. And I want you to consider that. If it's telling us that it remained, that means it didn't come and then leave. And that's a good thing for you to think about as you're going into 2026, that the Holy Spirit has come in you and he remains. And a lot of times we don't act like he remains. It actually says that he sat, it was like a dove. And as I was reading a book this week, he shared his heart about that. Because I would think, like, I would want you to stay, so what would I do to get this dove to stay, you know? What would you, I'd be tiptoeing, like, that dove's going to fly if I don't. But it's not so much that, it's just that every step that you take, you are in consideration of that you don't want him to move away. So every day this year, to be in such consideration of the Spirit of God in your life, that he's so valuable to you, that you want him to remain in every aspect, in every moment of your life, that you want to like participate, that you want to see him, that you want to experience him in everything that you're doing, not just on Sunday morning at church. And so when you consider that right after Jesus got baptized, he went into the wilderness, and right from the wilderness, he went right into his ministry. And how many years was he in ministry? 3.5 years. That's 1,277.5 days. You gotta get that 0.5 in there. That's a lot of, just think about all that he did in that amount of days. How long have you been on the earth, and what have you done from salvation forward? In 3.5 years, there's a record of 37 to 40 distinct miracles that Jesus did. And I want you to consider the miracles. He had community miracles, and the community miracles were like turning the water into wine. That affected the community at that space. He calmed the storm. That affected the community. That affected what was happening. He was feeding thousands multiple times. How many? That's a lot of people being affected by one miracle. It was 5,000 men that they counted, but how many children did those men have? That's a lot of mouths that got fed off of very small things. He also did a lot of individual miracles. How about a healing? When he healed somebody's eyes, or he caused their ears to be opened. How about when he was with his disciples and he multiplied the fish? That was increasing in their job. That brought an increase in their work and what they were putting their hands to. How about when he raised the dead, the widow's son, and he raised that little boy? Or Lazarus. There are so many different miracles. He even cast demons out of different people. And I was thinking about how that was individual. Yet when you take it into thought, let's take the person that had her son raised from the dead. From that moment, what happened? How many people's lives were affected by that one? Just that little boy that came back to life? How about his future life ahead of him? How about all the people that surrounded that miracle that could now say, I saw someone raised from the dead? Like, it went out, it went forward. How about somebody being blind and being able to see? Like, that was an individual miracle, yet it impacted probably generations. The story, my grandpa, he was blind as a bat, and then he got to see, and it was crazy. Like, I mean, just think about that. So all these things that Jesus did, actually, I think, I don't know, I have lots of favorite verses in the Bible, but maybe this one today. How about that? If you open your Bible to John 21:25, it says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. It says, if I were supposed to tell, they were all supposed to be written, books could not contain them. Like, that's a wild thought, isn't it? That we have, like, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they testify of what Jesus did. But he actually goes beyond that and says, look, our hands got tired, and we did not write more. Like, just think about how many more things that we're experiencing day in and day out. So 1,277 days, how many days did Jesus walk and do miracles? Every day? Possibly? Did more than 1,277 people get affected by the miracles? And how about you? How about the 365 days that we are heading into as we're in this first of the year? How many days will you walk and there will be miracles that you see and experience because Jesus rose from the grave, so the resurrection power is in us, and the Holy Spirit lives in you? How many of you are anticipating a miracle today, anticipating one tomorrow, and then the next day? How many of you anticipated community miracles? How many individual miracles are you anticipating God doing in your life? How many personal miracles are you believing God for today? And so to consider that Jesus was set in motion as an example for us, and we're supposed to live like he did, right? Come on, body. Nod your head. Like, Jesus is our example. And yet, Jesus, when he was on the earth, in John 14:12, he made this statement to the people. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. So list me a work out loud, everybody together. What's one of the works he did? So all of those things that we're listing right now are things that you're supposed to be doing. And then it says, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. How many of you believe Jesus went to the Father? And how many of you can do greater things than Jesus did? You should say amen. I can function in that. And how do you function in that? Because in Acts he says he's going to pour a spirit on us and give us power, and power to walk it out. He actually told you that. I think that's the highest promise in the word, that we could do greater things than Jesus did. Because you serve a God that isn't just the same as yesterday, but today. He's new today. He's doing a new thing on the earth. If all you had were to measure it based on this, then there would be an end game. I can only do what he did. But how great is it that he doesn't even limit you to what Jesus did, that he says you can have far more, that nothing will be impossible for him who believes. The church should start roaring with excitement. I'll give you the opportunity. That is such a promise from the Lord, that it is not within your ability, but it's in his capability. Do you firmly believe that there's nothing impossible for God? If there's nothing impossible for him and he is in you, then there's nothing impossible for you to walk out. Grab a hold of that truth. Grab a hold of that promise. That's such a promise. And right after that, Jesus declared to his disciples in John 14:16. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you the helper. And right at the end of that, in verse 17, at the end it says, "And you will know him, for he dwells with you." Say, "With me." "And he will be in you." Say, "In me." So there's two sides of that. And I've been really contemplating the idea of God being with me and in me. I'm like, okay, how does that work? What does that look like in our lives? Well, in Jesus, because I love how he sets an example for us. When he was being baptized, it says the Holy Spirit rested upon him. So that's on him, right? And then, because he's so good to us, he didn't set an example that you can't attain to. He also, in Acts, it says that he would pour his Spirit upon you. It says, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in the tongues as in the Spirit gave them utterance." So he was filled and you are filled. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. And it says, "And you will receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." So you have both sides. So Jesus had it, and you have it. How does that sound? So why? Well, the Holy Spirit in you is for you, encouraging you, doing the work inside of you. And the Holy Spirit with you is for all the people around you. Look at them. Holy Spirit with me is for all you. And so I don't know about you, but have you ever went to a restaurant at night and you woke up the next morning, you're like, "Wow, I can taste that from last night. I'm so glad. It's awesome." You haven't eaten pasta and garlic bread? My mom used to be like, "You can't even eat garlic bread. I could smell it for days." Like, I remember that growing up as a kid. She'd be like, so what do you do when your breath is so rancid that you can't even tolerate it? Well, you get gum, right? I think gum can be a good bonus, right, for me. And so extra gum. And so right now it's affecting me, right? Did you just put gum in your mouth? Okay. Does anybody want a piece of gum? I see some. You want to know what happens when you're anywhere and you pull a pack of gum out? There's like vultures. They're like, "Can I have a piece? Can I have a piece?" Like, especially your kids. "And I have a piece. Can I have a piece? Can I have a piece?" And before you know it, your pack of gum is gone. You want one? No. So the only thing is that I want you to consider the gum like the Holy Spirit in you. You want to know something? When Romero was alive, he hated when I had gum in my mouth. This gum is effervescent. I don't chew gum. I actually don't chew any gum. He hated it. He said, "Beck, it looks like you're like a cow chewing cud. Like, it's terrible. Like, me watching you, I can't even tolerate. You're chomping on it." Like, wait, what did you say? Oh, that, yeah. So I want you to consider what happened to me. You want to know what happened? I stopped chewing gum completely. And I think that happens to us sometimes when the Holy Spirit's moving in our lives and he's in us and we're getting stirred up, and then somebody's like, "That's kind of weird. That's just a little, you're pushing the line a little bit too much." And we start drawing back in how we're responding and what we're doing in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, because we don't want to make someone feel uncomfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable with what they might think of us. And so we just tend to, like, "It's in my mouth, but you don't even know it's in my mouth now." And the Holy Spirit's in you, but you might not even be, does anybody even know he's in you? Can anybody actually see the representation of the Holy Spirit on your life? Is anybody taking stock of it and note of it? Like, what is God doing in your life? Like, is it there? Is it really there? But then I want you to consider why we have it with us. One is that we can actually transfer to somebody else. Like, and that's what I feel like Jesus did with us. He's like, I'm walking in this, I'm functioning in this, but I want the whole, like, experience, the whole surrounding of me to experience this. And it's just like anybody, when you pull out a pack of gum, they're all, like, wanting some of it. Like, it's with you. It was in my back pocket. It's with me, and I can actually offer it to somebody else. How often are you offering to somebody that you're encountering with the gifts of God on your life? How often are you saying, God is so extra in my life that I have more than enough to give it away, that he can create the extraordinary in your life? In reality, after Jesus, if you want the actual verse to bank in on this, it's Acts 19:11. And it says, and God was doing extraordinary things and miracles by the hands of Paul. He was stepping into the extra. He was stepping outside of the ordinary, and he was stepping into what Jesus had prophesied over them, that you will do greater things than I did. And he was seeing it actually walked out. And so what I have for you, because it is extraordinary, I'm going to have them pass gum out to every single person. You can each have a piece of gum, because I wanted to remind you, I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good, that you're carrying something so valuable. It's so valuable in 2026 that you be filled with the Holy Spirit and that you be functioning with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is with you and he's in you. If you need more, I have some more in this pack. As simple as it was to receive that piece of gum is as simple as it is to receive the Holy Spirit. To walk in and with him. Now you're experiencing something that you just received. And if you actually turned to your neighbor and blew your breath on them, they would experience what you just received. There's something so glorious about that. Do you understand that you can actually speak the life of God out to people? That you can, because he's so in you, that you can have someone experience who God is. That it shouldn't be contained to you. It shouldn't be like subject to just one little space and one little time. It should be a living. The Holy Spirit is alive. He's living in us. He's moving in us. He's wanting to function in and through you. He's wanting, you know what, we could cry out and say, God, we want to see miracles in 2026. And you're right. But you want to know who wants to see more miracles in 2026? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does, because that's what he's here for. He's here to give you power to see transformation in lives. He's here to bring the power of the living God. That wasn't just for a moment in time back then. It's for now, right now. You should not walk out these doors without saying, yes, 100%, I will see miracles every day. Because of the Holy Spirit is excited to function in you. Paul was laying his hands on Timothy and fanning into flame the gifts of God in him. Your gifts, you should start fanning them into flame, saying they've got to come alive. They shouldn't be dormant. If somebody asked you, how are you functioning with the Holy Spirit, what would you say? On a scale of 1 to 7, how many days are you functioning? What are you doing with the gift that God has given you, that entrusted gift? Is it growing? Is it functioning in your relationships? Is it functioning at your work? Is it functioning in what you're thinking? You know what? You can't do this negativity fast without the power of the Holy Spirit. because it's got to be him drawing attention to taking captive every thought. And then it says that he can set a guard over our mouths. You know how much we need him to set a guard over our mouths? You need to ask him every morning, God, set a guard over my mouth. Let there be something that blocks me from, and let there be a change in my heart. You know who changes our hearts? The Holy Spirit functioning in us. Nothing's impossible if you believe. So where is your belief lie? What do you know what you believe? Do you know what you believe at any moment? If someone came up and asked you a question about your beliefs, would you be able to give them an answer based on the doctrine in which you believe? Would you be able to back it up with scriptures? Anything they asked you, would you be able to counter it? Saying, well, why do you believe that? And what makes you believe that? And who told you that? And it's so important for us to understand when Jesus was baptized, and after he got baptized, it says in Luke 4:1-2, I want you to really look at this with, we're going to examine the scriptures, as in it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Think about him being in Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. It says he returned from the Jordan, which was the river he was baptized in, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, when I think about that, I was like, I don't understand why you would lead him into the wilderness. When the people of Israel came out of Egypt, where did he lead them? He led them through the wilderness. There was a time frame. And so you can see some of the parallels of what Jesus experienced and what he's saying. Look, you can live in victory. Even if somebody before you didn't, there is victory for you. Come on. You've got to get excited about this. We've lived too long in the deficit, and it is time for the advancement. It is time for you to see I can advance in my life. I don't have to be like I always was, because I'm taking stock in residence with the Lord and saying, with you, there's nothing impossible. And as I step into this new year, I'm going to throw aside all those things that I used to think, all that negativity, all that things that were things that I was believing that were not true. And I'm going to cast that aside, and I'm going to step in with this full assurance of faith, with the fullness of the Holy Spirit and what he has to offer me. And so as Jesus stepped into the wilderness, it says that he was led there, and it says for 40 days. And he was tempted by the devil. How many like that statement? What kind of temptations do you think he endured? Mark actually tells us that there was wild animals. That would have been great, huh? How many of you would like to experience wolves? Yeah, I wouldn't have. Encountering bears. Encountering lions. I don't know what was in the wilderness of that wilderness, but there was wild animals enough that he made note of it in the Word. And then Matthew declares to us that it wasn't just 40 days, but 40 nights. So he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time. And then being tempted on top of it, we get just hangry and we can't even overcome. And we excuse our lack of food and our attitude, and we gave it a title and a label, and we make it like a joke. And it's not. That's actually not an excuse. It's sin. When we act rude and sharp to one another, and just because we're hangry, it doesn't excuse our behavior. And the thing is Jesus, when he was enduring all the things that you're tempted with, because he was enduring the temptations, it says that he literally was without sin. He didn't compromise. How easy is it to compromise? I can tell you one way it's easy to compromise. I'm gonna eat healthy, but one cookie's not so bad. Right? We give an excuse. We make a way so we can have what we want. And also, how often we're like, well, we just want to, like, be, fit. But one cookie's not going to destroy it. No, one cookie every day, well, you know, and then maybe two every day. I ate so many cookies over Christmas, I'm mad at myself. I'm like, these are destroying my... I was trying really hard, and then she made monster cookies. And I'm telling you, like, I've never had a closet call my name so many times. I'm like, y'all, I'll be back. And I was trying to sneak a cookie. It was so bad. I'm just saying, you've got to think about it like the reality of how easy is it for us to compromise when we want something and we know we shouldn't. When the Bible says not to do something and we just were like, it's probably okay. Or no one will see. Or no one really notices. And he's in the midst of it and he's without compromise. And he's standing his ground. And I really love the Bible, and so I really want to share you a little Bible fun tip thing in here. I was thinking about how he fasted for 40 days. You know who else fasted for 40 days? Moses. When he fasted, the law was brought. And then Elijah was known as the notable prophet, and he fasted for 40 days. So we have the law and the prophets. And then Jesus comes right before his ministry, and he fasts for 40 days, bringing a new covenant to us. And it should set us as evidence that he is who he says he is, and that he'll do what he says he'll do. And I just think it's so powerful when God can just, the evidence is there and there and there, and we can see the real mission of Jesus. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, able to endure temptation, being led by the Spirit. There's times when we face temptation and it's right at our face. And it's hard, but in that place of refining happens when we say no. When you keep saying no to the things the enemy's trying to throw in your shopping cart, and you keep saying no to the thought processes that you have, and you keep saying no to the wrong relationships, and you keep saying no to the things that you know God's saying not to do. And we keep saying no, it's refining us time and time again. And he was praying and fasting. And he was meditating. And he was sustaining temptation. So I'm going to ask you, what are you doing to sustain temptations in this coming year? How will you walk that out in the next year? And so right after he finished fasting, he comes to this place. And the enemy takes him and he says, like, I'm going to go there, but I'm just going to pause for just a second because I skipped ahead a little bit because I really want you to grab a hold of this. I'm calling you to seek the Word of God like you've never done before. Have you considered that this year is full of temptations? And have you sought the Word for an answer? Have you studied it to know how to stand and what to do when temptations come your way, when trials come? Have you studied the Word and said, God has been faithful and he'll remain faithful, and this is what the Word of God says? Have you sought out your defense for this year, saying these scriptures will stand as my defense? When the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise up his standard, and I will know the Word, and the Word will set me free. That I will take hold of the Word, and I will be able to stand and say, this is what the Bible says. No, this is what the Word of God says. This is what God has spoken. Everything that might be coming against me, yes, I can see it, but I can pay attention to the Word and know and understand what God is saying. And we have to know the Word of God, that we would be set up through the Word of God, because he's full of all kinds of assaults. Have you experienced an assault of the enemy? And what do you do? And how do you respond to him? Oh, I guess it's terrible. It's going to be a terrible year. Oh, I guess I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be sick the rest of the year. I mean, how often are those things that we just let so callously come out of our mouths? Well, it's just always been like this. I guess it just will be. This year's not going to be any better than last year. Like, we just contend and say those things. And I want you to think that that's not this year. It says in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And I want you to consider that what Jesus did when he went into the wilderness. How quickly would you have run to escape that space? How quickly would you have been like, this must not be God. Like, this is too much. As soon as you saw an animal, how quick would you have left? Like, how fast do we avoid anything that might cause us just a little bit of trial? It says in James that we should count it all joy when we face trials. Have you counted any trial a joy? So we have to submit ourselves to God. I mean, in this whole next year, just submit it to God. We did that this morning. Did you hear that come forth this morning? To say, Lord, you're going to be Lord of this year. That's submitting to God, saying, God, whatever you have for 2026, I'm submitted to you. It says, and then it says, to resist the devil. Who gets to do that? Raise of hand. It's you. That's active. That's not passive. Resist. If I brought somebody up here and I was like, just keep me back, how much for, I would fight back, just so you know. Like, I would be pushing against, like, I would try to win to get to the other side. That's the resistance. You have to say, I'm not going to be moved. You need to plant your feet in the Word of God. To plant it so strong in the Word of God that you will not be moved. When anything comes this way or anything comes that way, I am not moving my feet. I will not. I will stand according to what God says. And that's also through the power of the Holy Spirit. To say, I'll resist the enemy based on the power of the Holy Spirit in me. I can stand against that. I can stand against that. And also the armor of God. It says that, stand firm. Ephesians 6 says to stand and stand firm. Girding yourself with the armor of God. And what's in your hand as your weapon? Right here, the word. Sharpening your word is. How many of you want to go into battle with a table knife? I mean, it's better than nothing, but I mean, come on. Do you have a table knife? Is your sword so sharpened in your spirit that at any moment, anything the enemy would like to come against you, you could say, no, this is what the Bible says. How quick is your spirit to quicken to what the Word of God says? And so I want to take you into what happened right after. And I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to just make it really clear to you. I'm putting the devil on blast this morning. Okay? I'm going to make it so you understand that he is evil and he is against you, but God is greater, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. And you can see it as evidence, because when the enemy came to take Jesus out, he was hungry. It says that he was hungry. So that means one thing. You can testify that he was a man. Think about that. That shows the evidence that he was a man, just like you pinch yourself. Are you even hungry this morning? Because, man, when I start preaching and your stomach starts growling, I imagine. You get hungry. And then we think about food, and food's on. How much food is in your conversation? How much thought does food have in our lives? Man, just get 28 people in a house, and it's always about food. My mom tried to close the kitchen multiple times, and it never got closed. Like, there's always. And so he's hungry. Like hungry, like 40 days hungry. The miracle of being sustained through that. But when he walked out of that, he was like, I'm hungry. And the enemy took him right where he said, look, if you pull up the scripture where it says in Matthew 4:3-4, it says that the tempter came and said, command these stones to become like loaves of bread. So he gave him an out. He knew his personal need. He tried to bait him. How often does the enemy try to bait you? Just one thing somebody says that you don't like? How quick is he baiting you? How quick does he bait you with your kids? With your spouse? With people at your job? Like, right there, like, oh, he's like, I know how I'm going to get them. Enemy's trying to get you. I'm trying to make you understand he's trying to bait you. He's trying to hook, line, and sinker you. and bring you into a place of destruction. And he was trying to do that. And you want to know what Jesus told him? It says, it is written. So what did he pull from? Because he didn't pull up his cell phone and get the Bible app and try to find if the devil's saying this, and what do I got to say? Did he try to do that? I mean, like, think about it. Where was the word? He was pulling a scripture from where? When he was studying it and he was preparing, and it was in his heart, in his mind. How many times are you meditating on the word and you're putting the word in your mind? And you're putting it in your heart. It says to put the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against God. It says to hide it in your heart. Are you taking hold of the word and saying, oh, this one, I know the enemy could use this scripture, and I'm gonna hide this one because I have a defense against him. That's that sharpening of your sword. That's saying, I'm not gonna allow anything but the word of God to come out as my defense. When you come into a problem, what does come out? When the enemy tries to lure you in, what do you say? What's your response? Well, they did it, so I can do it. You know how quick that response is in my house? It's strong in my house. And unless we decide that that's not how we choose to live, then we have to choose to know what the Word of God says. And how do you know what the Word of God says unless you're reading it and studying it? It's so important. And then the next thing he says, he sends him on the temple and he tempts him. And you want to know what the enemy uses? Can you throw up the next scripture? He uses the word against him. Isn't that interesting? Does the devil know more scriptures than you? Because he's toying with him with the very scripture. He's wanting to bring him into a place of destruction. He's wanting to ensnare him. And you have to know the truth. You need to know it so strong in your heart that you need to have it be empowering in you, because he says, no, it is written. And he comes back against him and he uses the word. Say, he uses the word. And the third one, he takes him to a high mountain. And he says, throw yourself down. He uses the word against him. But I was very taken with this concept of how he said, if you bow down to me, then I'll give you all of this. Like, really consider that thought of what he was offering him. Think about what Jesus was thinking about. It's super easy just to, like, jump from one scripture to the next, but just contemplate if he's like, he's going to hand me everything that I'm supposed to be on this earth receiving, right? That was the point. Jesus was going to come and be reigning king. So he's offering that right now. Kind of seemed like he was offering him an easy way out. He might have had in his mind the thought of the crucifixion and what that was going to cost and how hard that was going to be. How often when things are hard do we just want the easy way out? How many of you want the easy way out? How many of you guys take the easy way out? The easy way out is like always, we like almost work towards getting the easy way out. You can take a pill and lose all the weight. You don't have to do anything. That's an easy way out, right? Like, there's so many things like that. And I was thinking about Jesus, and I don't want to, like, dehumanize him in this moment, because that, he had to stand. He had to resist the devil. He actually said, I rebuke you, Satan. Maybe that's the verse you need to memorize for this week, is that it actually, can you pop that up? It's the last of that. It's verse, it says, be gone, Satan. What does it say in James? If we submit to God, we resist the devil, what does he do? He flees. He gave us the perfect example. How did he resist him? But it was with the word of God. It was the evidence of the word of God being spoken. And the enemy had to flee. I love that Jesus didn't give in. I know how easily it is when I'm tempted to give in. I know how easy it is. I'm guilty of it. Like quick, easy sometimes. Sometimes I don't even think about it and I react. Jesus, he had to humble himself and say, I want this how God ordained it. I'm going to humble myself and submit myself to God and say, God, I want your way and not my way. I want to walk full of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk into this, into everything that the Lord has. How are you going to prepare yourself for 2026? As we enter this fast, I don't want you to consider that it's, you know, just taking away. Let's take away all the negative things. But how about making room for the positive? Making room for what God could do in our lives. Allowing the Holy Spirit to have such access to the fullness of who we are that we can, it says that he gives us the power, that there's actually no temptation that we can't get beyond, that he doesn't give us the ability to resist. Like, read this, actually just pause and read the scripture. It's not within your own strength. Do you see that? That he provides a way of escape. That he's the one that's working in your lives. Yes, he says that temptations will come. Yes, he says trials will come. But he gives us the ability to overcome. It's through Jesus. It's through the power of the resurrection. You can live a life that actually walks into the supernatural that's greater than Jesus did when he was on the earth. Because he went to the Father. That we should be excited as we enter this next year to say, I'm going to be triumphant. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to go in with all the force I've got to see what the Lord can do in 2026. You should cast a vision out there for what God's going to do in this year. Bringing you freedom. Restoring your soul. Giving you hope. Bringing healing, walking in all the fullness of what the Holy Spirit has to offer. He has promised. I heard the Lord speak a lot over you, taking hold of what he said and saying, I'm going to move one step into the next day, into the next day, and I'm going to encourage my brother and sisters in the Lord that we need to be walking into the fullness of God in us. And I would like even challenge you this week to not hold the gum in your pocket. Like, don't keep it just there for you. The purpose of the Holy Spirit isn't just for you. It's that it might spread into all the world. It says that he would pour his power upon you, that you would make you witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Isn't that powerful? Would you stand? If you need a fresh filling from the Lord, just stretch your hands out towards him. God, I'm asking that you would pour in and through us like never before. That you would fill my brothers and sisters in the Lord. That you would refresh them. That you would show yourself strong to them. Thank you, Lord, for your word that would be living and active in their hearts, alive in their minds, that the word of the Lord would be spread from one person to the next, that we would speak your word continuously, that we would replace negativity with your word, Lord. God, we just, if there's an area that maybe you need to submit to the Lord, I just challenge you to submit it to him today. That he would have complete access to you. If there's a place you need to resist the enemy in, stand firm, brothers and sisters. I ask, Lord, that you would quicken their hearts, that you would enable them to speak the word over the situation that they're facing, and that they would be able to resist the enemy. And I ask that the enemy would be gone in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the love of Jesus. Thank you for what you did on the cross for us. As we enter into this new year, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, there is an opportunity for you today. He's so good and he loves us so much. And when he died on the cross and he conquered death, hell, and the grave, that was for you. And if you've never encountered him this morning, as the altar workers are up here, you can come forward. Just know that God is working this morning. Ask him to show you the scripture. Ask him to reveal the things that you need to know. This is a brand new year. I just speak life over your year. I speak over your year, a year of miracles, a year of signs and wonders. I thank you, God, that this year would be a year of the Holy Spirit flooding each person, and that it would move them in their lives in such a powerful way. I thank you that you're in us and you work through us. I ask that you would increase our belief system this year, that we would believe, that we would walk as people of faith. And I thank you, Lord, for doing a good work in us. In the name of Jesus.
He's roaring over you. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the year of the Holy Spirit. Put your hand in your heart this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you his spirit and give you peace. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.